Brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ our Lord, the gentle shepherd who will not condemn the woman caught in adultery, who rides into Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey, who receives children and tax collectors and sinners, is the victim of betrayal, false accusations, and corrupt judges. He who healed Malchus's ear and drove out demons and saved the centurion's servant is brought by conspiracy and armed thugs to the place of the skull tonight. That is no mere coincidence. For the old serpent, that evil foe, the father of lies, the prince of this world, who enticed the woman in the garden and ushered in death, today suffers this prophecy about enmity. I will put enmity, hatred, hostility between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers, God says in the garden. He shall crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The nail driven by the Roman soldiers into our Lord's feet to hold him on the cross is the very nail that grinds the Lord's heel deep into the devil's skull this day. Today, the devil is Jesus's footstool. Christ is bruised, but he is not broken. He is killed, but he will rise. He is crucified in the place of the skull to crush the devil's skull and to end his claim upon you, upon all men. Enmity hangs on the cross in the place of the skull. He hangs there between us and the devil, suspended between the earth and the heavens. A couple hours earlier, Pilate had said, "Behold the man." It was as if he said, "He is only a man and nothing more. He is weak, and we can do anything we want to him. All authority belongs to me." The chief priest cried out in pure demonic hatred, "Crucify him!" As the devil would have it, they are concerned only about their positions, their jobs. But we, today, we behold the man, and we rejoice, because this man is one of us, a man. He is for us, and he is not against us. He kept the law on our behalf. He did what we should have done. And he will allow Pilate and the devil and the chief priest to do to him all that the law should have done to us in the place of the skull. He who knew no sin became sin for you and for me. The Lord laid upon this Jesus the iniquity of us all. Behold, the man of sorrows, the man who took our pain, who bore our suffering, who was pierced for our sexual immorality, hatred, jealousy, fits of anger, selfish ambition, drunkenness, greed, deceit, envy, gossip, slander, pride, arrogance, and lovelessness. Behold, that man who bears our burden and guilt and shame, the man who dies our death. Behold, the man who loves the unlovable and the unworthy, even you, even me. Behold, your king. The chief priests may stupidly cry out, "We have no king but Caesar." But we boldly cry, "We have no king but Jesus." For we are not ashamed of the gospel. We are not ashamed of our king, who was enthroned upon the cross with a crown of thorns and adorned with his own holy blood. We have no king but Christ. We have no law but his word. We have no hope but his sacrifice. Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the salvation of the whole world. Behold your redemption, your salvation, your bridegroom who loves you unto death. True, Pilate places a sign on Jesus' cross that reads, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. It was meant to mock him, to make fun of him. And it was meant to show the world what would happen if they opposed the government. It was meant to say, look what authority we have. Look what we can do. If we can do this to your king, what will we do to you if you defy us? It is meant to be the ultimate threat. But we do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. And we do not love our lives in this world. We boldly and confidently confess Christ before all men. We trust that to lose our life for Christ, to die, is gain. And to deny ourselves and to take up our cross and to follow Jesus is an honor that will receive the greatest reward. The crown of righteousness, the crown of eternal life that cannot and does not fade away. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, Jesus says. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. So, Pilate, you would have no authority over me, Jesus says, at all, unless it had been given to you from above. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down tonight of my own accord. And he does. Jesus today lays down his life in love for you. He redeems the insignificant, the weak, the Jew, the Gentile, the repentant sinner who calls upon his name. Today, Jesus dies our death. He lays down his life, and in only a few short days, he will take it back up again. But for now, behold the Christ, the anointed of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the one who turns the heart of his Father to us, the one who raises up for himself children out of stones, who makes saints out of sinners, who loves you to the end. Today, the place of the skull has become the fountain of life. Today, the cemetery is turned into a garden, a place to lay your head and rest from your labors in the hour of your own death. Because today, enmity was hung on the cross. The nail has been driven into the devil's skull. It is crushed. And Jesus' chastisement has brought you peace. You, who were far off from God, me. We have been brought near to the Father. reconciled to him through Jesus' blood. It is finished. Behold the man. Behold Jesus, your King.